Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler.
I'm back like I never left. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash with your girl, Ashley Schuler. I'm back. I'm excited. This is episode one. This is episode one for the Built From Scratch season. I did a whole trailer explainer episode all on what this whole thing is about, where I'm coming from the Built From Scratch season. And we'll get into a little bit of it so that, you know, we can just keep the party going, the train moving. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. But yeah, go back and listen to that episode. It was a lot of fun. Had a good, some good laughs, but some really, really good information was shared with you about what the Built From Scratch season is all about. And for my first time listeners, what's going on? What's up? Can I get a hoot hoot? Can I get a holla? I'm excited for you to be on this journey. Season 7, Built From Scratch. And here's the thing about the whole premise of this podcast. This is about giving tips, strategies, case studies, and perspectives on how you can lead teams better, manage projects more effectively, and develop really good streamlined processes for the everyday work, for the projects, for the tasks, for the programs, for the initiatives that you as project leaders are working on every single day. So, with that said, we're going to get into today's topic. What I love about this is when we talk about this Built From Scratch season, what I want to talk to you all about is do a little definition check. Who remembers the definition? Who out there? Y'all can say it out loud. Okay. Or y'all can text me too. I'll put my text number in hashtag podcast to 626-722-5444. If you guys want to text me about any questions, what I've said about the podcast, I'm all ears. Well, I guess I'm all eyes because I'm really reading, but you know what I mean. But the whole concept of building from scratch is when you're doing something and you're making use of materials and things that aren't really, you don't really have your hands on. Basically, what you're doing is you're doing something you've never done before. You barely have any type of materials. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have a thought. If we're going to go to the baking analogy, maybe you just have flour. And someone's like, listen, I need you to make a whole dinner. I need you to make a whole thing, a whole brunch. You're like, this is all I got. And sometimes that's enough. Okay? Scratch is about beginnings and building from those beginnings. So all season long, we're going to be talking about how we can build projects from scratch, lead projects, manage teams, and everything in between. This season is halved up, or I guess you can say halved up, divided. This is the word I'm trying to say. It's divided into solo episodes with me and a few case studies. And then we have another half of the season that is devoted and dedicated to some of my favorite people that are building really cool programs, products, initiatives, services, and they're going to be sharing their perspective on how they have built from scratch. Oh, isn't this so exciting? All right. So let's get into the first part of this episode. I want to talk about the future of work. I am someone who loves a good report, loves a good stat. And I think this is really important. Why is the future of work important? Well, we all have not been living under a rock, people. The past 3 years, going on 4 years, we have dramatically shifted the way in which we are communicating, collaborating, producing work, managing work, all the things in between. I know for myself, some of the top questions that I get are, how do I say organized? What apps do I need so I can become more productive? You know, how do I streamline communication? How do I make sure that my team members are all on the same page? You know, a lot of these questions started bubbling up, tripling up, and really started to take a life of its own. And I think, you know, if we're to be honest, we face some real challenges in how we're navigating this thing called everyday work. So Slack, shout out to Slack, okay? You can start off with Slack for free for those of you that are not using Slack. But it's a great communication platform for you and your teams, and it's really good. I love me some good Slacks and some really cool messages. You can do stuff with GIFs. That's always fun. But I love Slack. I even got a little Slack badge, okay? I'm just serious about my Slackness. I'm serious about it. So there is a state of work report that was produced in 2023. Slack is also has been bought by Salesforce. So, you know, just so you kind of know in context, Salesforce is a huge, they have a CRM platform. They do all the things. Okay. But look up Salesforce, really, really good stuff. For the purposes of today's episode, I do just want to go over a few highlights for this report, which is linked below in the show notes. So you all can follow along. I want to go over the executive summary and chapter one. So I want to go over a few highlights because, man, this is like really, really, really good. Really, really good. So here's what's really cool about what the CEO of Slack is talking about. And the CEO of Slack is Lydianne Jones. Okay. Lydianne Jones. So there's this concept about work disrupted, right? We're in a digital era of work, all right? We're talking about AI. We're talking about async communication. We're talking about remote and global teams and hybrid teams. And so there's a sense and there's this focus on what does it mean to really measure productivity and really measure success? Like, what are the drivers to measure productivity and success? And if I can give my own opinion on that, I think really all of those factors are highly dependent on the culture in which you work. So if you're in a corporate environment, and even with that, like, let's talk about like healthcare sector, if you're in construction, if you're in financial sector, it all depends on where you're going to work and really what management feels and deems to be important and how all of that is articulated. So some of that I think is it's subjective, you know, and so I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on that about, you know, in terms of productivity and what has your leadership talked about when it comes to measuring of productivity and success, if at all, or what types of conversations are being had at this moment? So in this particular survey, they went and talked with about 20,000 people from all across the world, the United States, Australia, France, Germany, the UK, India, Singapore, Japan, South Korea. And this group of people included office, remote, and hybrid workers. And they had a range of people they spoke with. Executives and leaders, we're talking about presidents, partners, C-suite. Managers, people managers, ranging from team leads to VP level heads. Desk workers, we're talking about independent contributors, analysts, graphic designers, and developers. Okay, I chuckled at the word desk worker because I was like, that sounds a little, I don't know, I would have used a different word. Are you a desk worker? Like you're chained to it? I don't know. It was interesting. Okay. So in this report, it's highlighted that executives and non-executives are locked into a tug of war of how to measure productivity. This is why I really want to hear from y'all. Are these really the conversations that y'all are having? I think from my perspective, what I'm hearing is this notion of how can we become more efficient with our time and getting the work done, right? The measurement of it, let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. Okay, non-executives tend to think their bosses want to see them work longer hours, be available during the weekends, respond immediately to emails, and sit on every meeting, even though workers say 42.5% of the meetings could be eliminated with no consequences. Okay, can I get a high five on that? Can we eliminate these meetings? Can we do that? I talked about that. I talked about it in my live streams and in one of my podcast episodes. We're talking about effectively being able to manage meetings. But also, too, this is why we talk about these things, right? We got to get better at streamlining our communication. Okay, so this is really, really good. For my project leaders that are in the entrepreneurship space, because that is going to be, there's going to be some differences between corporate and the entrepreneurship space. Y'all got to chime in on this one too. Because I want to know, do your CEOs and the visionaries, are they expecting y'all to work long weekends and be available for long hours and respond immediately? Are you chained to the Slack pings? This is what I want to know. For real, for real. Ain't no shame in it. I'm just trying to get our pulse out there. Okay, let's go over a few more stats. So 63% make an effort to keep their status active online, even if they're not working at the moment. 53% feel pressured to respond to messages quickly, even if they're sent after working hours. 50% feel pressure to let their colleagues know that they're at work and being productive. Now, I'm not gonna lie, because I believe that yes, that there is somewhat of a pressure to appear and to make it like make a world, I guess, that you are productive, like you are efficient, and that you have to constantly be on in order to convince somebody else that you're working. I think psychologically that messes with people. Who agrees? Who agrees with that? Okay. Now, this is a challenge. This is really, really challenging. And I find this to be pretty, pretty fascinating, because really the question is a cultural question. Who's in leadership? Who's in place that is contributing to this? And I want to say, even for myself and for those that are really leading the charge in some of these projects, we also have to be advocates for our own self. We got to advocate for ourselves so that we don't feel the pressure to be on and to feel like, yeah, like I'm gonna send this message. Da, 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 da. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there. Okay. Another interesting thing, right, that was pointed out in this executive summary. AI and automation promise to turbocharge efficiency, but leaders are missing major opportunities to use them to their full potential. Ooh, this is good, y'all. I'm glad. Let's talk about this point. Huh? Okay. So here's the thing. Let's talk about the AI piece first. No. Sorry. Back it up. Automation piece. Let's talk about the automation piece, y'all. Okay. This is what I'm thinking. I love a good automation. Like I'm probably a level 5 with Zapier and some other types of automations, right? Shout out to my girl Quantel Mosley. You know, she's like one of the goatest of the goatest of the whole, she knows, she be knowing about systems. And my girl, Jennifer J. They be knowing about these automations, y'all. Shout out to them. But I'm a firm believer. This is how I teach and really help my clients when we talk about ClickUp. And we're talking about the ClickUp automations and all of that. You really got to understand what your process is before you start introducing these automations. And so I think a lot of times, especially when you're talking about the day-to-day work and being able to, you know, work efficiently, effectively, oftentimes the why behind the automation and like why we should invest in certain digital tools and technology is not always fully explained. This is really an aspect of change management. Ooh, let's not get in a rabbit hole about that. But really the whole premise on change management is people. It's being able to effectively communicate what changes are happening inside of a team, inside of an organization, and what that process is going to look like along the way. You know, you could be implementing a new system, a new policy, X, Y, and Z. We're going to put a pin in that because we're going to be here forever. And we often don't have, you know, time for all of that. You know what I'm saying? But we probably can do like a little bonus episode. Oh, that's a great idea. All on change management. I'm getting excited. Same thing for AI, good people, because I think that's really important as well. Is that we get a really good understanding about the use of AI and how it can help supercharge the work that we're going to do. And me in particular, I've taken a nice little slow, leisurely walk in the AI forest. Well, no, park. I feel like forest, I might run into something very scary. But the AI... For the AI park, I mean. Okay. So this is really good. And so for me, I've just been learning, listening, reading, and learning. And so I'm going to take that PMI AI course because that's also going to help me with understanding how AI works for project managers. And, you know, how we can be able to utilize it and be more productive. All right. Okay, let's quickly get into chapter one, which is the paradox of productivity. Okay. Many business leaders are saying that they are being kept up at night due to this pressure of how do we make our teams, how do we make our people be more productive? And so I think that's mainly because of the economy. And, you know, it's been up and down. You know, we hear it on the news. I'm no economist, people, so I can't give you like really specifics, but we hear about it, right? People are spending less. People are cutting things down. We got layoffs all across different types of sectors, right? And so there is this aspect of how do we produce more with less? So this introduction of AI and automation is something that is being explored about how companies can really be efficient, how workers can be more efficient. And so one of the things that is something that we'll have to lean into more and more. It's one of the top skill sets that I believe of this current time, which is communication. Being clear about A, the intention of the work, the goals of the work, how leaders can develop. And so therefore, that level of communication, I believe, can lead to how you can properly define and measure productivity. Even though I still wrestle with some of this concept of measuring productivity. But I get it. Do I get it? I get it. Absolutely. So in the report, they have these charts. They have two charts, and they ask for executives, how do you measure productivity? One is visible activity. Two is the cost metrics. We're talking about the money and what things cost. And then achieving KPIs and goals. Okay, are we hitting the mark? So for project leaders and other types of analysts and things, how do we measure productivity? Well, One is hours spent on specific types of work, the achievement of goals, achieving KPIs and goals in conversations with managers. So this is really interesting, right? That managers, executives, their big thing is like, well, how visible is this work? Secondly, they're like, are we hitting our goals from a strategic business perspective? I see you. I get it. And then the cost metric, which is, again, that's really instrumental into the money and the life of the company. So I would say, this is interesting. What I see just in terms of a quick analysis on this is that there is an issue with how executives are communicating these are the priorities and what project leaders and analysts and us, what we want, and how do we look at productivity? So it's hours spent on specific types of work because, again, as a doer of the work, as a leader of the work, for sure, we're looking at that. Conversations with our manager, that's going to be huge because we are going to want to know, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm doing it. Strategy, all of that. But one common factor for each is this aspect of achieving KPIs and goals. Are there enough conversations about the route in which we're about to achieve these goals? I think that's interesting. Is this why communication is highlighted as really one of the missing and maybe intangible factors in this process? We'll have to see. All right, everyone, as we slide into the next part of the show, which, by the way, I hope you enjoyed this breakdown of this report. You definitely can go into the show notes for the state of work and kind of walk through it. It's not very long, but it's interesting. It's really, really interesting. And so we'll dive into some other aspects of it throughout the podcast. So let's look at this particular case study. All right. So I want to talk to y'all about this particular case study that I've selected for this episode. This is a good one, y'all. I often ask people, you know, hey, could you send in, you know, some comments, some scenarios, some kind of like the Dear Abby letters. I'm a little bit dating myself age-wise, but I don't really care. It's okay. But there used to be a columnist called like Dear Abby. I want to say Dear Abby is still going on, but it's like a digital format. I think so. I'll have to double check that. Or someone can tell me. Yeah. But this is what I love about case studies. And by the way, y'all can send me questions too if you want me to go over it and put it on the podcast or you know, I can create some content around that. I'd love to talk and walk you through whatever issue you're having. But the cool thing about case studies is that we get to do some surgery, baby, on what the situation is and how we would solve it. It's like my own little general hospital almost. Shout out to the people who used to watch soap operas. This is me, True Confessions. All right, so Casey Nicole Jackson is a middle manager, like a mid-level PM for a state agency, for a health department, Health and Human Services. So Casey, you know, is one of those individuals, super hardworking, has a love for data analysis, helping people. And she has been assigned this brand new initiative. It's like a statewide initiative. So for those of you that, you know, maybe get those like neighborhood newsletters or what do you want to call, like, well, I guess you would say like your local news, and they like announce the new, like, here's a new statewide initiative. And sometimes you like look back at the TV or like your phone, you're like, what's this about? This is one of those situations. This is a new statewide initiative to design and develop a new mobile app that will help connect resources for underserved populations, for low-income persons, people who are experiencing poverty. And this is a huge effort. This is a huge deal. So let's put on our hats, everybody. I'm going to put on my little, my PM investigative hat. Who's going to do it? Let's do it together. Let's put on the hat in motion. Hat is on. So let's talk about it, y'all. What is the problem? What's the problem? The problem is that there is a lack of a cohesive network of organizations for healthcare services. There is a lack of consistency on the reliability of nonprofit and other types of services in the area, in different areas, right, across the state for mobile healthcare units or being able to provide these healthcare services. Community members are frustrated, tired, upset about the lack of consistency with providing accessibility and with affordable healthcare services, okay? So what's interesting about this is that this particular project that Casey's working on is really something that is going to help modernize the state, right? They're going to help. It's a first ever digital modernization project. It's going to benefit so many community members. I love it. I think this is a really cool project to do. Something that is often, I think, underscored in many states and communities all over is that being that we are a digital first world, we have a lot of different sectors in populations that are just left out in the cold because they don't have technology and, you know, and all of these different types of things. And so I love it that this particular project is really focused on, all right, how is it that we are able to, you know, get these services out. Now, of course, some of you might be wondering, well, all right, if you develop this particular app, what if somebody doesn't have a phone or a laptop or a computer? Love it. And we will add that to the list of questions and things that we can do our investigative work on, right? So one thing I want to note here is that when we talk about building something from scratch, because Casey's doing this from scratch, and so we will walk through what are some of these best practices that Casey should be looking at. So what I would recommend for everyone listening here is building out a requirements template. So I know I've done this before where you get a project. Maybe you get some of the information, you don't get all of the information. Maybe you don't even bring in all the stakeholders that you need to, and you just go and start working on stuff. What I would do is I would take the time to build out a requirements template. This is going to be real good, y'all. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of questions to ask, and you can play around with the sequence and the ordering of things, but essentially this is the bread and butter of project foundations. Okay. This is where you ask and really vet out a good idea for a project. Some of us that are in corporate, some of us already have pre-designated projects and things, and we don't have a say in it, but we do have a way in which we can help direct a project so that this quote-unquote idea that has been presented as a project can be implemented and executed in all of its execution glory, if you would say that. So here's where we want to start. We're asking this question of, all right, is this a good idea? Or you may be asking the question of, well, how do we start this? Like, how do we make this feasible to do? And one thing that you'll want to do is you'll want to look at a few things. You'll want to look at asking some good questions around the budget, the resources, the software, the technology, and the people. And I'll break that down even more. So having a project vision, Casey needs to come up with a vision for this project. She don't have to do it alone, but this is the overall goal, and it's like where we're headed. Like, vision is all about future casting and visualization. A project mission is really like, why are we doing this? Okay. And that helps you to get an understanding that, hey, this particular app that we are creating, this is its mission. This is its vision, right? So mission kind of focuses on the now, and vision is future casting. So a clear project vision is key for any project success. So it gives direction, sets goals, and can even solve problems before they arise. Having a vision helps you to understand how your project impacts others and provides a vehicle to communicate what the end state will look like. So what is the vision for this new mobile app? Huh? If anyone has any ideas, make sure you text, because this will be good for us to talk and dialogue with. The scope. So remember when I was asking all the questions about budget, resources, software, technology? Let's talk about it. Scope is the sum of the products, the services, results as to be provided as a project, right? So it's everything, right? And for the purposes of this mobile app, this can be developed upfront or it can be done over time. What would you do in this scenario? So if I'm in the room with Casey, I'm going to ask her, I'm going to say, girl, we're going to need to get everything together. Like when we talk about the budget, let's talk about the contractors, the web developer, the coders, the marketing people, what we got budget for, okay? What software do we need? What technology we need to buy? What's the what? But that's me and my own personality. I like to dig. Let's dig it up. Let's get to it. Like, let me get my gloves, let me get my shovel, and let's dig and find the information that we need. This is where you don't go at it alone. Okay. When we were watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and one of the options when you didn't know an answer was, do you want to phone a friend? This is what you want to do. You want to be able to phone a friend. You want to be able to get the people together in a room. And this is why when we talk about building out a requirements template, I want to just do a quick pause for the organizational note. You want to do a couple things. I would build it out in Coda. Shout out to Coda. Coda is a great documentation app. It's almost like the cousin to Notion. And you could integrate all these really cool tools in it. And then Miro. Miro is a really cool tool as well, because Miro is where you can get people involved. It's a mind mapping processing type of tool. But friends, this is where we want to see what everybody else's ideas are. So that's why we want to use Coda and Mira to build out a template and to start writing out what these requirements are. So what else is in this? We're talking about, I mentioned the goals and the outcomes. I mentioned the KPIs and the metrics, a schedule of sorts, right? And listen, this is not taking like we're going to do this in a day. This may take some time. And then this is going to be dependent on how many coworkers or people that she's working with, right? And if you think about your own situation, I'm interested to hear from you all. When it comes to the projects you're working on, is it you and like one other person, or do you lead out a team of 5, 6, 7, 8, or 20 or 25? You know, what's the what? you know, is some of this information that you have in terms of the budgeting and some of this KPI metrics information, is that something that's coming from leadership? But regardless, you got to get people involved. You got to get people involved. And this is really good because this really sets the tone. This sets the tone, everybody. This sets the tone. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's really something that everybody should, you know, be able to know and to do when you get to these types of scoping things out. All right. So what have we discussed so far? We've talked about questions to ask, budget, resources, software, technology, and people. We're talking about the project foundations, which we're talking about vision, knowing the overall goal and the roadmap of the project, understanding what the direction is, how it's going to impact people. We're also talking about the scope. And I love scope because oftentimes when I talk with people about, you know, hey, how are you managing scope? Well, it was good up until this point, right? And sometimes we have our candy corn enemy, which is called scope creep, if you didn't know. Scope creep comes in because nobody likes candy corn. Scope creep comes on in to help steal your joy. And that's what you can't have. So be upfront about what you won't do and what you won't do. And for Casey, she'll need to get a better understanding about what is this mobile app supposed to be, what's supposed to be included, and what it's not. And the beauty part about apps, if we think about it, especially with our own little mobile computers called the iPhone or the Androids, is that you can have versions and iterations of an app. It all doesn't have to be the same thing. Like you don't have to have all the things in the first launch of the app. Now, when we talk about the requirements aspect, here's where it gets really good. And this is why creating project documentation is going to be critical. So using Coda for that, something that you can also do too, is definitely using Miro to write some things out, make it super interactive, is asking some of these questions. I wrote down some questions on this one because I think it's really important to ask a whole bunch of questions so you can get to where you need to be. So by definition, a requirement is a condition or capability that is necessary to be present in a product, service, or result, or satisfy a business need. Okay, so let's get into the questions. So what are the requirements for this app? What is the purpose of the app? What is the app trying to accomplish? What would be the current problem that this app is going to solve? How will it improve the current process, and will it facilitate a new process? Let's stop right there. So when we talk about the current problem, we know that we just listed off in the beginning why this Department of Health and Human Services, why this whole statewide initiative was taking place. We got a lack of cohesive network of organizations for healthcare services. There is a lack of consistent reliability on mobile healthcare units. You know, there's complaints, right? There's frustration. And so this particular app is going to help solve that current problem, or so we hope, right? What's interesting when we think about building from scratch, and these are some questions that all of us should look into and look in a little bit more deeply, is asking this question: what should the app be able to do, and what is the particular product or the app's core functionality? What features will it need? That's a good question, right? Are there branding and design guidelines to follow? That's a good question. And then, of course, you know, we touched on this earlier, but ensuring in this process of talking to stakeholders, defining the scope, the budget, and everything, you are essentially doing some really good fact-finding to ensure that this project is feasible, that this actually can be done. And lo and behold, people, this is not something that's, you know, out of this world to think that there could be a launch of a project, there could be people that are working on things, and it never gets off the ground. And people spend months, and they may have even spent years working on something, and it never gets off the ground for several reasons. Okay. So as we wrap up this episode, here's a few key tips and some action points to consider. Developing your vision statement, knowing your scope and requirements, preventing scope creep as a strategy, knowing what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, and organizing yourself early. This is really going to be key when you as the PM are leading this effort and really making sure that the team is aligned, making sure that the project is supporting the business goals and objectives, ensuring that there is proper resources, money, and things of that nature, resources, technology, asking the critical questions to make sure that this project is feasible. So I love it because this doesn't require you to be a super expert about app development, or in your case, whatever the sector that you're in, you may not have that deep SME knowledge, SME, subject matter expert. You may not have that deep SME knowledge, but listen, being able to ask the right questions, roll up your sleeves, and utilize the people and the resources around you to make sure that you have this complete picture of what needs to be built is just magnificent. I'm telling you, it's just magnificent. All right, everybody, that is all that I have today. So please text hashtag podcast to 626-722-5444. If you have any questions or comments about the episode, anything that you would like for me to clarify, I'm here. For those of you that are looking for some coaching or some training in some of these project areas, whether it is streamlining communication, whether it is PM tool setup and whatnot, how to develop team operations, I am coaching. Woohoo! And so I have a link in the show notes and where you can book a call with me and we can talk about making sure that you are becoming and you are elevating yourself to becoming a next gen digital project manager. I'm excited. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you on the next episode. This has been Built from Scratch Season 1. Built from Scratch Season 7. I'm excited for this, and we're out. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler_. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.